You know, this last Sunday was Easter, and we had a wonderful time speaking out and wonderful service, and trust y'all had a wonderful time here. But just this whole time of year just kind of gets on your mind, and you begin to think about what God really has done for you, what He's done for me. Oh, what a wonderful King, what a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful Father, that He would lay down His life for you and for I, that we would have an opportunity at salvation and a way of getting back in right relationship. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He said, "It is finished." I wish you'd say that with me. It is finished. Lord Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear Your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understand, and give us a desire, O God, to live for You above all else. Make us willing servants. Guide and keep each word that I speak in love and in Your will today. Lord, I thank You for this church. I thank You for our family. I thank You for our pastor. I thank You for the opportunity again to wake up in a free nation, that we can come and assemble together in one mind and one accord and worship You freely. I ask that You touch and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody said in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to teach or speak just for a little while about beyond finished. Beyond finished. Jesus said, "It is finished," in the scripture, and He breathed His last breath and He died on the cross in that most of historical of days. He was done. It is finished. His work was complete. He had been brutally and cruelly crucified. He had been beaten. He had been spit on. He had been mocked and nailed to a cross in a picture that would remain embedded in the minds for centuries and centuries to come. We celebrated last weekend that time and of Easter and His death, burial, and resurrection. And He was crucified and He was killed and He was beaten. Now, I as a boy, my mom and dad had the leather strap on the wall, "I need thee every hour," and there were some days I felt like they used it every hour on me. But you or I have never been beaten like He was beaten. We've never been persecuted like He was persecuted. We've never been through a situation or turmoil like He went through. Think of your worst experience. Think of your worst moment in the history of your life. The worst issue you've ever had to go through. Think of that. And then think of Jesus. It puts a little more perspective on the picture. Okay, God, I can handle this. I can make it through this. I'm going to make it. To all who looked on His limp body hanging on the cross that day, they saw a picture of someone who was utterly defeated. They saw a picture of someone who had been beaten, who was finished. You know, they say a picture paints a thousand words. And it really does. What they saw in their mind and what they took in into their minds, He was finished. He was done. It was over. We all know the story of Jesus's life. We know He was born in a manger and that He lived to preach the gospel. We know the signs and the wonders and the miracles that occurred while He walked the earth. We read about them, we teach about them, we preach about them, we tell our family about them. We know how He led His disciples and teaching them to carry on His legacy. And we all know how He died on the cross on that terrible day. We also know that is not where the story ended. That is not the end of the story. And on this day, this Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, I want to look just for a little bit at the words that Jesus used as his human strength failed him. I find it interesting that he did not say, "I am done." No, he didn't say that. He didn't even say, "It is over." Didn't do it. He didn't say, "I die." He didn't do that. No, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." All my life, upon hearing this statement, I immediately think that Jesus says he is finished because he was done, or it was over, or he was dying, or he would be no more. The very definition of the word is exactly this: to bring something to an end or to completion or complete, to use completely, to overcome completely, destroy or kill. And that's where we stop in our mind, a finish. It's completed. However, this is confusing. In his 33 years of walking the earth, Jesus was never defeated. Think about it. He was never defeated or destroyed. It never happened. He was never defeated or destroyed. He was mocked, yes. He was tempted, yes. He was tried, yeah. But he never once did he give in to humanity's attempts to tear him apart and his ministry. So why would his last words signify defeat? Think about it. There is actually a further definition of the word finish, and this final angle makes so much more sense when you begin to look at the scripture this way. According to Uncle Webster and the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, the word finish can mean to complete and perfect in detail, to put the final touches on. Think about that. Wow. If you read the scriptures this way, Jesus is not destroyed, he is perfected. He wasn't giving up in defeat, he was being perfected. Why? So you and I could get into right relationship and have it, and that blood could cover us. No longer was there this sin atonement of putting it off for another year by a sacrifice. No longer. Was there the yearly ritual of having to come and do what only 47 men in Scripture could do, go behind that veil? The veil was rent because he shed his blood. It was perfected. Prophecy is fulfilled. The blood is shed. Salvation is now available to all mankind. Hallelujah. God's master plan is finally set into motion, and a perfected masterpiece that could only be fully appreciated when the world saw a risen Savior. Oh, he did die. Oh, he did lay down his life, but he rose again. Hallelujah. All power and glory is in his hand. He rose again, and he is alive today. Now, when you begin to think about masterpieces, you and I, we think about beautiful, interesting, or fascinating works of art. You probably do not think about the creation of that masterpiece. One of the 1800s most significant and drama-inducing engineering innovations of that time, the Brooklyn Bridge, took more than 10 years to complete. The victim of constant naysaying from skeptics and incessant technical setbacks, the construction of the bridge took the lives of an estimated 20 to 30 men. including the bridge's architect, John Roebling. Yet over 125 years later, the bridge still carries traffic across the East River daily, and with only a few modifications to the original design to allow for modern transportation, an architectural masterpiece that has stood the test of time. But when it was being built, they were saying, "Ha, you're crazy. What are you doing? This is ridiculous." But it still stands and it's still being used this very day. Albert Einstein did not speak until he was 4 years old. Now, where I come from, you're kind of dumb. What's going on? You ain't speaking till you're four. He didn't have the best of childhoods. In fact, many people thought he was just a dud. He never spoke for the first entire 3 years. He was 4 years old before he opened his mouth to speak. And throughout elementary school, many of his teachers thought that he was lazy and he wouldn't make anything of himself. This is someone we're just going to have to get by with. He always received good marks, but his head was in the clouds and he was conjuring up abstract questions that people could not understand. But he kept thinking, and he eventually developed the theory of relativity, which many of us still can't wrap our heads around, an intellectual masterpiece, a mind that wasn't like the average ordinary. And to many, he was a dud. To many, he was dumb. But to many, he was a genius. And he progressed our society with his facts, his figures, his thought process. Vincent van Gogh only sold one painting in his lifetime. What a failure. You know, if you're a house builder and you build houses and all you do is sell one house while you're alive, seems like you would change occupations. He sold one painting while he was alive. He is considered one of the greatest artists of all time. Yet the poor guy only sold one painting the entire time he was alive. The Red Vineyard at Our Arrows. The Vin Rouge, it's called. It's now in the Pushkin Museum of Fine Arts in Moscow. Even though he made no money, he still painted over 900 works of art. And I wish I had just one of them now because they're worth millions. He's dead and gone. His work was looked at and it was passed over except for one. His entire life spent working art, creating these pieces of art. Only one soul. Though his persistence went unnoticed when he was alive, Van Gogh proves to you and I, you don't need external validation to be proud of the work you create. An artistic masterpiece. An artistic masterpiece. These are all examples of masterpieces that were not appreciated before they were finished or perfected. These are all examples of men and things that were created in their life that weren't truly given the reverence they deserved. There were ugly moments. There were hurts. There were heartaches. There were bruises. There was probably ridicule. Onlookers saying, "It's impossible. What are you doing?" Now relate that to your life, sir, ma'am. Relate that to your masterpiece of who you are. How you affect society. When you walk out of these doors, you're a walking art piece. People watch what you say, what you think, how you act, how you respond. Spoke at a wedding yesterday, performed a wedding yesterday in Hackberry, and it's amazing how many people that I've been working with for the last 4 years trying to get them to come to church. They won't come to church, but they'll come to a wedding. One walked up to me. I have witnessed to him for 4 solid years to try to get him to darken these doors. Oh, I'll be there. I'll be, never show up. Yesterday, after the wedding, he comes up. I ain't never heard someone speak words like that. Man, you're a really good speaker. I need to come hear you preach. Well, duh. Come get the presence of God in your life. Hello? You never know how you're affecting people, and just in an innocent setting that you had no idea he would be listening or even be there. People are watching. And there are hard times. There are situations and circumstances. You're living in them right now. I'm living in them right now. But you keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling. There's going to be ridicule. There's going to be an onlooker saying, oh, it's impossible. You can't affect your society or your generation. Or you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not rich enough. You don't have the connections, man. You just need to be quiet and go away. There are probably those who mocked or insisted each of these artists give up before their masterpieces was finished. Oh, you've heard the naysayers. That's called life. We live it every day. It's better than being 6 feet under. Hello, somebody. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on the things of God. You're in the process. You're being formed into what He wants you to be. And you're being created. And sometimes it's not easy or simple, or you don't even understand why things are happening the way they are. But God is preparing you for something of greatness in His kingdom. God is preparing you for something to be that little beacon, that little light that maybe you just have the scripture of the day and you share it with a family member and a light bulb comes on and they find their way to God. Even when God created the earth, He worked for 6 days, and on the seventh He said He was finished. This didn't mean that He destroyed His beautiful creation. He meant it was perfected. Genesis 2:2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. In due time, all these masterpieces came to be valued and treasured, and their makers ultimately were given the respect that they deserved. God created several masterpieces throughout the Bible. Ironically enough, a lot of His masterpieces in our eyes and our thought processes were failures. In Judges, we read about one of those failures, one of those pieces that He worked on and He created. A man by the name of Samson, created to be a warrior, created to be a weapon, created to be the man to lead the nation. A failure. A man who did things he wasn't supposed to do. At the end of his days, he finds himself chained to pillars, surrounded by Philistines. In Judges 16:30, we read, and Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. A masterpiece, a work of art, a weapon created to defeat the enemy. Essentially, Samson said, "I am finished. Let me do what I was created to do." It didn't matter that Samson's priorities were temporarily askew. Ultimately, the masterpiece was completed. He took out more in his death, how he was supposed to, than he ever did in his life. Another failure we find in the scripture is seen through Jonah. We all know the story. A man told to go and warn and tell and cry, repent, make way. Jesus is coming, get things right. He's going to take you out. But what does he do? He runs from God. He goes down, 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 down to Joppa, down to Tarshish, down to the ship. He gets in the ship. He goes in the bottom of the ship and goes to sleep. A storm comes. It's raging. The men are throwing things overboard, provisions that they need, things that they need to survive their journey. Oh, Captain, there's somebody down in the bottom of the ship. He's asleep. What meanest thou, old sleeper? What are you doing? We're in the middle of a gale. Running from God. This is caused because I serve the living God. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. A work of art, off track, a masterpiece in the process. He finds himself being thrown overboard. Pick up in verse 5, what's he saying? Actually, Jonah 2, verse 1. He finds himself in the belly of a fish and he begins to pray. And I just want to look at this prayer. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. That's good news, folks. God will hear you in your time of affliction. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All the billows, thy billows, and thy waves passed over me. Jonah was saying here, God, I'm finished. God, I'm done. God, I'm sorry. God, I hear you now, God. You know, it's amazing we wait until we get to that position before we say, oh, God. And we begin to cry out to God. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Here Jonah is telling God exactly what he wants to hear. I'm finished, God, but you are not. And he continues to pray in verse 5. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Hallelujah. The key word in this text is yet. Yet, Jonah finally admits that he is finished, as in his self is destroyed. However, the yet in this scripture signifies he is also finished, as he is really ready to give in to the Maker's apt hand. And God, I'm ready to do what you would have me to do. He has learned his lesson. His faith has grown, and he is ready to bend his will to God's will and God's purpose. Maybe that situation you're going through, maybe that trial, maybe that circumstance you're having to live through right now is just testing you and proving you and pushing you to where you need to be in God, not only for yourself, but for your generation. I am finished, yet God is not. This is the realization that we all must have. This is the realization that we all have to find to get our lives in order to be perfected. It is finished. Beyond finished. Beyond finished. You have to wonder if God knows the extent to which we hurt when we're going through our trials. You have to wonder, and then you look at somebody like Job. A masterpiece. The Bible describes him as a model citizen, totally sold out to his faith. And the Lord and Satan have a little meeting, and the Lord says, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant? Really? Thanks, God. Appreciate that. You all know the story. Sitting there, hey, bud, all your children are dead. All your servants are dead. All your animals are dead. Except for me. Why can't the bearer of bad news be dead? Let everybody else stay alive. He went through the ultimate hurt. As with any work of art, the master sculptor begins to chip away at the stone. Not to do harm or to cause pain. Not to kill you. But to develop the masterpiece that you are. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, he says in Scripture. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, despite all of the chipping away, despite all of the agony and the hurt that Job, he did not become discouraged or give up on God. Don't give up, sir. Ma'am, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Get a hold of the Word of God and just hold on. Just hold on to the things of God and the principles of God. We've got a great church. We've got a great pastor. We've got a great opportunity to win the lost and to affect our generation and our community and this society that we find ourselves living in today. Job gained knowledge and wisdom throughout his journey, and the masterpiece was formed. Verse 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I abhor myself. I am finished, Lord. I repent. God, it's not about me anymore. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me, God. It's about you. It's about what you want. God, I didn't understand why I had to go through that circumstance or that situation or that trial or that failure. Job allowed himself to be molded and modeled, and he was given back twice as much as what he had lost. He was not destroyed. He was perfected, beyond finished. When are you going to be finished? When are you going to allow God to perfect you? It's not easy. It's not fun. You don't understand. Yes, there's going to be tough times. Yes, you're going to be ridiculed and mocked. Yes, the transition is going to be painful. You may have to give up some things. You may have to let God chip away at you. You may have to be refined through fire. But when are you going to let God finish you? For Samson, it was death. For Jonah, it was discouragement and fear. For Job, it was turmoil and it was torture. For Jesus, it was Calvary. Your perfection. It's the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual death that perfects the soul and refines the heart. You have to allow yourself to be perfected. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, he could have called whatever he wanted and wiped them all out. But he gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. It is perfected. I have made it. This is it. You have to allow yourself to be perfected. Paul, through all the temptations and trials, through everything, he ends with this: I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to unto all them also that love his appearing. Whatever you're going through today, whatever you did yesterday, or whatever trials await you in the future, you're not destroyed. Hear me this morning. You're not destroyed, but it is finished. You're being perfected. It's finished, beyond finished. Let God finish you. Let God fine-tune you. Let God purify you. The trials are temporary. The hurt is human. The old man, the flesh, is destroyed. But you're finished by the fire. Oh, thank God for that blood. Oh, thank God for Calvary. Oh, thank God. Thank God he has not forsaken not one of you. He knows right where you are. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. No matter what it is. Jesus said, "It is finished." His blood dripped off of Calvary's cross. What he was really saying is, "I can now save you." The Creator's art had been through the fire. It was sculpted. It was beaten. It was mocked. But the final result was truly a masterpiece. Not destruction, but a perfect plan for salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Repent and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let God reignite that fire in your life. Get a hold of the things of God and the principles of God and the Word of God. Jesus was not truly finished when he died on that cross. And you're not finished either. Beyond finished. Beyond finished. There is more. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for every person represented here today, every family. Lord, you know the hurts, you know the trials, you know the situations that every one of us are going through. Lord, we've got to live beyond finished. Beyond finished. Thank you for that shed blood. Thank you for Calvary. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another. We'll take about a 13-minute break and we'll come back and have a wonderful worship service. God bless you.